Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, July 2nd, 2013, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Well, Mercury is retrograde until July 20th, and if you're not familiar with what that means, you can go to our vault on the main site, starseedhotline.com, and click Current Events. This affects communications, electronics, and your brain, and it's not a good time to buy anything electrical if you can help it. We are happy to welcome Alexandra Bruce back to our show this evening. She's the producer and publisher of Forbidden Knowledge TV, a video-based website with vital information that gets over 1 million page views a month through videos and news that you won't find through traditional outlets. Alexandra is also the author of 5 books, including Beyond the Secret, a graduate of Brown University, the Sorbonne in Paris, and New York University Film School. She's worked on music videos for major music companies through her own production company. And she'll be telling us about her newest projects tonight, and you're invited to visit her website, ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.com. At the top of the show, it's the Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing topics of interest to Starseed and sharing some emails from our listeners. We're in the process of gathering the next soul group to go with us to Arkansas to dig for crystals, experience crystal activations, and reconnect with soul family. The date is October 8th through the 14th, and if you have 25, 26, or 27 degrees of Taurus, Scorpio, Aquarius, Leo, Capricorn, or Cancer on your natal or progress charts, you have the rites of passage to participate, and you can send an email to crystals, that's plural, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L-S, at starseedhotline.com to learn more. We'd like to thank Chris and Fiona for hosting our switchboard this evening, and you're welcome to call in with comments or questions. And the number to dial is 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, we'd appreciate your support by clicking follow on our show page. If you're joining us for the first time, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where you can find a lot of vital information for starseeds in our vault of knowledge, and the entire site has been coded for starseed activations. We have a support forum for starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com, and we'd like to thank Rose and Tammy for their great work and dedication on behalf of our starseed forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go, or download them right from our show page archives. And we'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart, and the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. Please allow at least 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure that you do get it in time. And if you'd like a Stage 2 reading to interpret your solar return energies beyond just knowing when the window is, make sure you book it 2 months before your birthday, as there is a waiting list. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Good evening, ladies. How are you doing?
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Anastasia.
Lavendar. Hi, how's it going? Good evening, everybody. Lavendar, are you there?
I'm here. I'm waiting for the good news, the good news be.
Well, it's great to be with you again this evening. And we're going to start out tonight's news by thanking Tammy and Eliza for their contributions to the news tonight. And I want to thank all the Starseed who've really been sending me some fantastic stories, some of them which are so depthy and I'm still researching that I'm going to put onto upcoming segments. So those of you that are not being referenced tonight, you don't hear your stories. It's just because I'm still working on it. And I want to thank you very much for your contributions. Wow, some of you guys are really on top of things. You are so privy to some really exciting stuff. And I'm going to share that on the show just as soon as I get it all pulled together. Well, as far as the sun goes today, the sunspots on the Earth side of the sun are quiet right now. The new sunspot AR1785 is large, they say, so it could pose a threat for flares coming up. But right now, it's all quiet. Now, there was a weekend geomagnetic storm. They say that on the 28th of June, Earth passed through a region of south-pointing magnetism in the solar wind, and the encounter set off one of the first geomagnetic storms of the current solar cycle. And they say that it filled the sky over Alberta, Canada, with bright green auroras. There were pictures of that on the Internet, and man, are they wild. Electric sky. And yesterday in Russia, there was a rocket crash. A Russian Proton-M rocket carrying three GLONASS navigation satellites crashed right after it took off from Kazakhstan's Cosmodrome. So that was a failed launch. And those of you that are in the northern latitudes, have you been seeing those noctilucent clouds? They are still continuing to intensify. And if you'll recall from my previous newscast, these are associated scientifically with meteor dust. Now, there is just a continuing expansion and intensification as summer passes on. And they say that observers in the central to northern latitudes of Europe are reporting just vivid, brilliant nightly displays of noctilucent clouds. And speaking of noctilucent clouds, something amazing happened in Britain. There was a narrow escape for a British family after red-hot sulfuric meteorites came down in their garden. A mother of two children was out in her garden and had a lucky escape. Fragments from a meteor shower rained down upon them. She was playing outside with her two children when the asteroid rocks fell behind her house. She said she heard a large whooshing sound and a cracking noise as 15 rocks from a meteorite shower blazed through the atmosphere and tore onto her lawn at 9:30 this morning. Isn't that something?
Wow.
She rushed her kids inside, but they said the rocks were red hot, more than an inch wide, and left a strong burning smell. She said that it smelled so terrible. She said it smelled like rotten vegetables. And there were lots of dropping sounds on the patio, whooshing and cracking. It sounds like burning embers, when the way she describes it, coming out of the sky. So you're standing out in your garden with your kids, and it starts raining hot rocks. That's just amazing. So
miraculous that no one was hurt.
Absolutely. It's just remarkable and wonderful at the same time. Well, those of you that live up near Lake Erie, did you feel that earthquake? It was shallow. It was only a 3.6 magnitude, but residents up there reported gigantic explosion sounds and the rattling of homes. They said that it was 3.6. It struck early yesterday beneath Lake Erie, just outside of Cleveland. The U.S. Geological Survey has reported this, and the epicenter was 4 miles northwest of Fairport Harbor, Ohio. It was 3.7 miles deep and struck at 3:48 a.m. local time, and they say that it shook houses and created large exploding sounds. So they say that is rare in the region, and that's what's been happening up there. So any of you stars that experienced that, I'd like to hear from you. And did you know that today is World UFO Day? So this is our day for broadcast. July 2nd is World UFO Day, and people of like minds are acknowledging the presence of UFOs or the stories of UFO phenomenon. And a writer at Polysemic put together 9 most infamous sightings, and you know, I probably could have come up with a lot others, but I just want to share this with you from this writer's perspective. Of course, he put number 1 as the most famous sighting was Roswell and in 1947 in Roswell, New Mexico, that crash story, and is known by every starseed and about anybody that knows anything about UFOs. Farmer Mac Brazel informed the sheriff about debris that he found, which he claimed was saucer remains, and gave rise to the legend of Roswell. And number two on his list was the most witnessed UFOs of all time, the Flying Black Triangles. And he says in 1989 and 1990 in Belgium, 13,500 people claimed to have seen black flying triangles in the sky. And out of those, almost 3,000 people filed official U.S. UFO reports. So, and by the way, the Belgian, I want to say military, or the Belgian government chalked it up to helicopter sightings. Yeah, right. A lot of us out there have seen those black triangles. And number three on his list was the most mysterious. He said it was the Hunrath and Wilkinson disappearance. And in November of 1953, a couple of UFO enthusiasts named Carl Hunrath and Wilbert Wilkinson, they wanted to go find flying saucers. And they apparently claimed they invented a device to bring them down. So they rented a small plane with just 3 hours of fuel and no flight plan. They took off, hoping to meet a saucer that would take them to outer space, and they never returned. So they might have had more fuel and a flight plan that might have helped their return, but this is a story that they reported in this article. Number four is the most puzzling UFO incident. It was the 1976 Tehran incident. They said that Tehran officials in 1976 were really confused to find that two F-4 aircraft and ground control equipment were intercepted by an unidentified object. And they say the Iranian general said on public record that they had thought the object was extraterrestrial. Number five, the most bowl-shaped UFO was the Chicago Airport UFO, spotted in November of 2006. It was a cereal bowl. Dozens of travelers in the Chicago O'Hare Airport watched the metallic object and called the authorities, but of course, there was no response by authorities. Number six, the most drone-like UFO was a UFO spotted in Sao Paulo, Brazil. It says that millions of Brazilian protesters saw what looked like a shiny white ball patrolling the skies of Sao Paulo. And while the original video is no longer on the Internet, sources are pointing at the true origin of the sighting as government drones. So we don't know whether those were UFOs or drones. And let's see here. Number seven is the famous story of the British politician Simon Parkes, who publicly stated that he was visited by UFOs and since he was a child, and he claims to have had holographic relationships with the entities, and that made great news that he claims that he had physical relationships with these aliens. That's number seven in the news on this list. Number eight, the most Australian UFO was the Westall UFO sighting in 1966 in Melbourne. More than 200 students and teachers witnessed a UFO land onto a field and then pick up and fly away. Now, the government tried to reprogram these people and insist that they had seen a helicopter, not a UFO, but, of course, those 200 witnesses didn't buy that, and Australians still gather at this field every year in memory of the incident. Isn't that something?
Wow.
And, of course, we all know about the Kenneth Arnold incident. This is listed as number nine, that on June 24th in 1947, pilot Kenneth Arnold, and this is the beginning of the UFO coined term as being a flying saucer, saw what he called a flying saucer across Mount Rainier, Washington. And so, you know what skeptics are saying or have said over the years, that Arnold saw a pelican. So it's just
a very
amazing.
Famous saucer-shaped pelicans.
Isn't that something? I mean,
Anastasia,
just how ludicrous can the denials get? Huh? I'm sorry?
I just had a little newsflash here that our guest needs to be done by 8 o'clock our time, so I don't want to cut her time short. So if we could continue the news, if you can come back after Alexandra is done, or
I won't be able to do that tonight, but we can finish it next week.
Okay.
Got a wonderful
really
story to share with That's fine. I want to be sure to share next week, all you Starseed listeners that have children, I've got the most wonderful story for you about an autistic genius. And so please tune in to next week's show for that. It's a wonderful story, amazing for all you parents of special children. All right, well, that'll do it for tonight, and we'll pick it up next week.
Okay, thank you so much, Anastasia, with the Starseed News. Bye-bye. Well, we are going to introduce Alexandra Bruce without further ado. Let's hang on, get me the microphone open. Hello, Alexandra, welcome.
Well, thank you. I didn't know that it was UFO day. This is wonderful because I've had over 25 sightings myself, and many of them have been silver balls. One was a flashlight-shaped object. Many of them have been oblong objects. The last one was in California about 3 years ago, and it must have been about half a kilometer across, and it was way up at the edge of the atmosphere because I saw a commercial jet flying beneath it, and it was so far above this thing, and this commercial jet was probably at 38,000 feet. So, it was an amazing thing, and then it just kind of curved around the mountains, and that was the end of it. Just sort of sneaked away. But yes, I've seen those silver orb things in Mexico. I've seen them on every continent except for Asia and Africa. Basically, I've seen UFOs in Europe, North and South America.
Wow.
And,
So then,
of course, made me go get regressed by John Mack when he was still alive and nothing came up. And then I also met with Bud Hopkins and nothing came up. But Lavendar gave me a reading, I guess, a year and a half ago, and she said that I was definitely a starseed. But clearly I'm not awake to that reality because, I don't identify as an abductee. But certainly, I've witnessed UFOs. I think a lot of them are like a breakaway civilization, Earth civilization, that they are, these are humans. I think a lot of what I've seen is human technology that is just a secret, super secret technology. But some of it is definitely looks like it's beyond anything that humans can do. You know, the speeds and the things that I've witnessed are just crazy. And so I guess that you're having me on the show today because I'm helping to promote the conference, the Contact in the Desert UFO conference at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center that is being held on August 9th, between August 9th and 11th. And you can go to contactinthedesert.com, the name of the site, to find out more. Oh, sorry, contactinthedesert.net. And George Norrie will be there. Stephen Greer will play his latest film, Sirius. Giorgio Tsoukalos will be there. David Wilcock, Graham Hancock via live stream from London. Jim Mars, Michael Tellinger, the South African archaeologist who discovered remains of cities that might have been bigger than Los Angeles in Mozambique and in South Africa, like three of them. William Henry, Michael Sala, the famous, he was a military person who came forward he was working at MISO silos, nuclear installations and witnessed the nuclear shut down by UFOs, like the codes just not working and the, you know, the nuclear capability being just stopped. And he has spoken at length about this. He's going to be there. Jason Martell, David Sarita, Richard Dolan, who in my estimation is really one of the most credible, straightforward, normal, just a historian guy. And his books, I could not recommend more highly. National Security State is the first book he wrote. And he basically equates the current topic is right now, you know, the whole NSA leaks that are going on and how that's a worldwide story because the entire planet is up in arms that the U.S. government, that our taxpayer, U.S. citizen taxpayer money is funding complete spying on every.
Alexandra, you're breaking up. We're losing your signal. So, are you still there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Okay. We kind of lost you after American taxpayer money. What?
Oh, is paying for these unbridled NSA surveillance programs on the entire planet, and that the U.S. taxpayer is paying for this.
Whether he wants,
you know,
it or
the
not.
Whole planet. Whether we like it or not, whether we want it or not, whether we know it or not, approve it or not, we're paying, and then the rest of the planet is really peed off at our government. And so are we. So it's kind of a fascinating situation we find ourselves in. I still haven't named all the names of everyone who's going to be at this contactinthedesert.net. You can find out more about it on that website. Richard Dolan basically wrote the equation between the Roswell crashes, the almost immediate formation of the CIA, and the implementation of the National Security Act, and this whole black budget world that has grown up around this phenomenon of extraterrestrial beings in our atmosphere, you know, crash landing, and the back engineering of their technology. Let me just go through the list here of who else will be there. Marshall Clarfield, Michael Cremo, excellent author of Forbidden Archaeology, Carol Rosen, Travis Walton, William Brown, Laura Eisenhower, James Gilliland, Roger Lehr, George Filer, Alfred Weber, Byron Belitzos, Paula Harris, Yvonne Smith, Suzanne Taylor, Celeste Yarnall, Douglas Taylor, Dr. Dream Peebler, Barbara Harris, and many, many more. I guess the
list
goes on.
Wow, it's an all-star cast.
Yes, it is. It surely is. So I'm very excited to get to meet all of these people. That's all I'm getting. I just promoted it, and I'm getting a free room and board, and I get to hang out with everyone. I don't make a dime off of this, so it's just going to be a lot of fun for me.
I really look forward to it. We met Richard Dolan at another conference for the Wake Up Now conference, and you're absolutely right. He is just impeccable and a really, really nice person on top of that. So tell him that we said hello.
I will. He is phenomenal. He's just like a regular guy from upstate New York who has a special needs child also, and his wife is aces, you know. They're just really solid citizens. They're just good folks.
So, Lavendar, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're taking it all in.
Yes, so, Alexandra, I just must tell you that I really love all the emails that I get from you every day from Forbidden Knowledge TV. You know, a lot of them I put to do later because I don't really have the time to watch them. So I've got a huge list that I get to watch on the weekends. But I think you're doing an excellent service to so many people by the way you put together your videos and the information that we all need to know about, because the mainstream media just won't do it, and you're doing it. So, you know, bravo to you for that.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I never thought, I did not set out to become a journalist, but I suppose that I've become one by default, because journalism in America, certainly investigative journalism, is dead. In the words of Glenn Greenwald, the journalist who actually was formerly a lawyer, a constitutional lawyer, which is what our president... He was the man who broke the Ed Snowden story. And I actually have an interesting story about Ed Snowden myself. It appears that he contacted me by email back in, I think, April, like mid-April to early May. I received I guess, a reply to one of my emails. I have, I guess, for the rest of your audience that doesn't know, I am the webmaster of ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.com. It's a newsletter and a internet TV channel that plays alternative information, alternative health, alternative news. It tackles the UFO phenomenon, and it tackles basically everything that the mainstream media won't. And so I received an email from it was clearly a Hawaii ISP, right? It had Hawaii in the, you know, it was like the name at Hawaii something or other .com. And I get hundreds and hundreds of emails a day, and part of the success of my newsletter is that I reply to almost all of my feedback. And what's become is a lesson for me in the power of community and of building community. And it's international. I think almost half of my subscribers are outside of the U.S. You know, I've been getting emails today from every continent on the planet. Because I did a test. I sent something about Nancy Pelosi getting booed at a recent internet conference in Silicon Valley, and it was just her responding to the Edward Snowden story and her assertion that he had broken the law, and then she begins to get booed by this very internet based audience, and she maintains that he committed a law. But to my understanding, if he swore an oath, the national security oath, he swore an oath to protect the Constitution, not to protect the breaching of the Constitution, which is what the PRISM program and others like it, you know, this warrantless wiretapping of everybody on the planet's life, that is not constitutional. So if he broke the law, I mean, I'm not sure what law he broke, because it certainly wasn't the Constitution and the law of the land, you know. But anyway, to go back to the story, he replied to an email that I had sent, and he was a sort of I just thought he was another one of hundreds, thousands of people that write in to me, you know, over the course of the year, and he was agreeing with the email that I had sent and talking about the police state and how overreaching it was. And then I replied jokingly, because I saw Hawaii in his ISP of his address. I said, well, it can't be that bad. You're living in Hawaii. And then he responded with, by the way, he sounded like an old man. He did not sound like a young guy at all. I mean, he sounded like a world weary guy. And then he said, well, I'm an NSA whistleblower. And then I said, well, that must be terrible for you, because you've watched everything that you've defended get shot to shit. Pardon my French. And that was the end of it. And I just filed it away, and I went on with my work. And then the story broke, and I began to see too many resemblances between the description of this person and his location and everything else. And I looked up I can find the email very rapidly. I mean, I've become very good at finding anything that I want in my files, and it was gone. Our correspondence had been deleted, and probably by him. But I believe, well, I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to open myself up to any problems that I don't need. But basically, he was, from what I understood from this conversation, it sounded like this man might have been in his 60s or 70s or so, retired, that he was talking about something in the past. What I did not realize is that he had only been at that job for, you know, less than 2 months, and was yet to be the whistleblower that he was calling himself.
Wow. That's quite a story. Yeah.
It is. So really, my first reaction was, and it really makes me respect him all the more because my first response was one of utter fear that, of course, the fury of the state that was going to be rained down upon him was going to extend to me because they were going to look at everybody he'd ever talked to, and that certainly I would show up, you know, as being a recent person that he, you know, on you know, even if he had deleted the emails, they're never really deleted in you know, in cyberspace. So I was terrified. So I can't even imagine, you know, I think that he had to have thought this through very carefully, and he was a veteran for many years, despite his young age, of working, you know, in the clandestine services. So he knew what he was signing up for when he decided that he could not abide by what he was being asked to do, and what the incredible effect that this was going to have on the people on this planet. So, you know, just me by having been barely touched by this person, I was terrified for my own safety. I can't even imagine, you know, the kind of space that he must be in, you know, to have gone the length that he did. You know, incredible courage. And one thing in my response, I said I have been studying the story of Thomas Drake, who was an NSA whistleblower who was prosecuted and had his life virtually destroyed. And he's still, when you see him speak publicly, he's totally shaken up. This man worked for the NSA for 30 plus years, and they almost destroyed him for all of that, for all of the work he did. Even when he went through the proper channels and waited for 7 years and whatever, and nothing getting done except for having his life destroyed for the favor of doing it the right way. And so I can see why Ed Snowden didn't do it through the proper channels. I totally understand, because it was just asking for a pounding, and he wanted to be more effective than that. And he was, absolutely.
So,
without a question.
What about Thomas Drake? I don't really know that story.
Well, he was one of the people, one of three people, NSA employees, who came forward, and just the unconstitutionality of warrantless wiretapping did not sit well with him after having served for 30 years in many capacities. He started out as a pilot gathering intelligence from a spy plane, and then was ended up more, you know, on the ground and whatever, signals intelligence, whatever. And when he saw the program that was designed by William Binney being used to really go into everybody's past, into everybody's contacts, and of course that's what Facebook does so brilliantly, is that it aggregates everybody's life histories and ties everybody together and makes it so easy and neat for the intelligence services to know everything that they need to know about a person, pretty much, or know very, very much about them, as much as they're willing to share or perpetrate, in any case. And he could not, this was not what he had signed up for. This was not the oath that he had taken. He had taken an oath to protect the Constitution and the rights of United States citizens. And when he found out that U.S. citizens were being spied on, he could not abide by that. And he went through the proper whistleblower channels and was federally prosecuted for all kinds of, for espionage, and I don't know, I'm not 100% on all the details, I don't have them in front of me, but it was a fellow Brunoni, a person who went to my college at Brown University, Jesselyn Radak, who now works at the Government Accountability Project, and actually she did used to work at the Department of Justice and observed herself, she was a whistleblower herself, after years at the Department of Justice, and blew the whistle on them for unconstitutional activities that she observed at the Department of Justice, and has now moved on to the Government accountability, had her life turned upside down and became an expert in being a whistleblower, and actually successfully defended Thomas Drake. And he is not in jail, and he's a free man, and he is not convicted. He was not convicted, and he's free. So I mentioned his case to Ed Snowden. He probably already knew about it, but I did mention that in the last email. He didn't reply to that one, and that was the end of it. And then the emails were deleted, and, you know, and I'm not 100% sure that this was Ed Snowden, but I have a strong feeling that it was.
You had mentioned something about Richard Dolan was doing some research on the NSA and putting something. Has he written a new book or
No. Well, he had. Well, his first
together.
Book. His first book basically was making the connection. And actually, one of the videos I played that was his piece that he gave at the citizens hearing for disclosure. That was held, I guess, back in, was it May in D.C. that was promoted by Steve Bassett. He gave basically what was might have been one of the greatest speeches on UFOs ever. I broadcasted it about a month ago, and his first book basically drew a direct relationship between the formation of the National Security Act and the CIA with. In the aftermath of the Roswell crash, and I guess the one in New Mexico, the subsequent ones, and the buzzing of the White House and stuff, and that basically the national security establishment was founded in a response to the UFO phenomenon, I think first and foremost, because they did not want their enemies getting a hold of that technology. You know, they wanted to be able to back, they wanted America to have, be the only ones that were back engineering that technology, and they didn't want anyone to know what America was doing with it, or certainly didn't want other countries and enemies to know. And that was a big part, that is, you know, the main reason for UFO secrecy was the technology. And then, of course, there is the issue of the energy cartels that want to keep us using petroleum until forever because they're super billionaires and they're trillionaires or whatever, and they don't want their, you know, their money, you know, juggernaut to stop. But, you know, regardless of whether, you know, the toxicity and the bad chemicals that rain down on the planet, I mean, we won't even get into the greenhouse gases because recent studies are now saying that carbon dioxide probably cools the planet. And moreover, that global warming is not relegated solely to planet Earth. It's a solution on and probably local to our galaxy as well, and heard a lot about us passing through a very high photonic and high, I guess, a chunky style part of space where little meteorites land on, you know, British front lawns and such, and that we're going through a rocky part of space at this time, and I don't know how long it lasts, but it could be the precursor to a big one that have, you know, caused many mass extinctions in the past. You know, there are people who've worked up cycles. There's maybe a 2600 year cycle and then bigger ones, but you know, they're on that metric of 2600 up to 26,000, you know, and then I think if you do the math, that the extinction of the dinosaurs is a, you know, was a million years ago, was, you know, is related to that cycle of going through an area of space.
Well, tell us a little bit about some of the new things that you have found out having to deal with alternative medicines or alternative healing devices, or maybe things about water, the new environmental things that are being found by some of these Tesla kids. Do you have any stories about any of that?
You know, I've been so focused on this NSA's thing that has not been on my radar so much. And so I can't speak to any really good alternative health thing. I'd have to look up. I'd have to go to my website and look that up myself, because that really hasn't been on my radar. Good health news has not been on my radar lately. I'm sorry to say. What's been? Let me take a look here and see what has been of interest to people. What has been the highest? And how with you? We have not spoken in 18 months.
I know. I think about you often, and I just, like I said, I read all your emails every day, or the ones that I can, and the ones I have to wait and see over the weekend or whatever. But I know you're doing excellent work and getting the news out there to the people that need to know about it. I didn't know it was UFO Day today either.
Let's see, I will say that the third most viewed video of the year 2013 is a video called UFOs World Government Secrets, and I believe that was a show that was produced by Jaime Maussan in Mexico. And somehow, what I do find is that people want some positive things. I send a lot of sort of dire, and because the corruption and the oppression of human beings and our innate skills is, we are being crushed, we are being dumbed down, we are being held down and held back technologically by the people who profit from keeping it that way, and it's we're slaves to them. But let's see, the most popular, so then whenever I play a lighthearted thing, that goes through the roof, because people need a break from the bad news. But some of the most popular stuff was the Boston bombings, all of the evidence that was absolutely not what the government purports that it was, that it was totally a false flag operation done probably by government contractors, so it's an arm's length away. You can't say that the government did it. It was sort of like Snowden. Snowden wasn't really working for the government. He was working for Booz Hamilton. So that's also an arm's length thing away for him and his trial and his legal exposure also. Let's say, truck driver confirms underground city beneath U.S. That was a big one. And the Sirius movie by Dr. Greer, huge. And, a news report about Flight 93, which is the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, on 9/11, that was never seen again. Somebody videotaped it as it was happening, and it was posted on YouTube, and that was very popular because, really, what you see does not look like a plane or anything close to a plane. It looks sort of like a little scrape of mud. It doesn't look like anything like a plane, like a 757 crashed there. And then high-ranking U.S. Major General exposes September 11th. And he's married to Rima, what's her name? Rima Labow. And that's Major Stubblebine. And that was him. So that's an interesting marriage. That's an interesting couple right there. This a major general married to a food activist who really tells you. And there was a recent Harvard study that came out says that all lunch meat, all hot dogs, all ham, and anything cured, anything that has nitrates in it, is not fit for human consumption. Period. That's Harvard. And that's a bummer for everybody who wants to have a sandwich at lunch, because that reduces your options considerably. But Harvard just said that, and I found that interesting. And what else? I have leaked video of a cruise missile hitting the Pentagon. It's very out of focus, but it exists. This is interesting. An Irish MP during the visit of the Obamas, and this was like 10 days ago, she got up and she just belted out the truth about Obama. Basically, she called him a war criminal and the hypocrite of the century. And it's in classic Irish style, and, you know, fighting Irish style. It actually is a not to be missed moment. It's only like, I don't know, it's like 5 minutes long, and it's like, woo! It's like your ears are burning after that one. But then there are happy, you know, then there are happy ones, but funner ones. But that's what people are very interested in. They're interested in deep underground bases. They're interested in UFOs and the link between psychiatric drugs and nearly all recent mass shootings. And they're into health. Oh, this is a really great one. This is a great, you wanted a good health one. This is a man who he asked me to replace it with his new clip. So it actually has not been broadcast. His name is Stephen Jepson, and he's in his 70s. And he believes, really, that the way that we don't move anymore as a species, you know, we used to have to move to survive, to make our food, to move from camp to camp, and to run away from predators, et cetera, et cetera. And that our sedentary lifestyles are really the cause of probably all of our diseases, he thinks. And he's developed all of these exercise programs that are not really strenuous. They're really more about developing your balance and your core. And it's very much the kind of stuff that everyone did on the playground as a child, you know, on the monkey bars and on the, you know, the jungle gym. And it was all about, you know, learning how to climb and to balance and not fall off of things. And his whole program is called Never Leave the Playground. And it's really astounding the kind of things that he does with his body. He looks like a five-year-old, and he's 75. You know, the way he jumps around, it's quite something and very inspiring. And I think that would be the best alternative health advice that I have seen in a long time. It was very, very, very popular. Got a lot of hits, and it makes the most sense. I mean, it's not about bizarre, you know, psychotronic or whatever you want to call biofeedback machines. It's about moving around. We don't do it enough. We drive everywhere. We don't even walk. It's not what we were made to do. We're supposed to move. We can't just sit here. And I've really... from doing this website, I've never moved so little, and that's a bit of a, it's like being in jail. There's really not a lot different between my life and somebody who's in jail, except for that I get to surf the net and make a living, you know, that way. But I wouldn't recommend my lifestyle to anyone, and I really need to get to a place where I can feel like I can get away from the computer and you know, go do what I need to do physically. Pilates or, you know, or whatever, yoga or something, you know, and aerobics. I definitely need all of it. But my favorite thing is swimming. So I'm in Florida right now, and I'm thinking I might look for a place to live here because I've always lived on the ocean as much as I can. But up north, it just gets too cold and stays too cold too long, and you can't enjoy the wonderful Atlantic Ocean up in New York for more than 10 weeks out of the year, and that's just not enough. I mean, it, for me, which means being inside the water, swimming inside the waves. And in California, it's like, it's just always kind of too cold to go swimming, pretty much. And it's got fun, big, fluffy waves, but you need to have a rubber suit on, and that takes all the fun out of it for me, because that's not fun. That's like prophylactics, you know.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, Alexander. I remembered some months back you sent a video or something about a prime minister, or maybe it was Putin. I can't remember who it was in Russia that was getting ready to release some UFO top secret material. Do you remember that?
Well, that was the president. He thought he was off the record, but the cameras are still running. And he said, yes, you can look at it. It's a movie that when translated from Russian, there's been a movie by that title. I wonder what was it called. Let me see if I can find it. It was Medvedev said something. I'll have to go to the site and use the search. The search engine on my site is very powerful, and you can find pretty much anything that you're interested in finding by typing in the word.
So was that brought up at that conference in April, the Citizens for UFO?
You know, I didn't watch the whole thing, unfortunately. You know, it was 5 days of you know, at least 8 hours a day, so I didn't see the whole thing. I saw one whole day. Men in Black. That's what it was. Full Russian. And then I actually played it. I ran it. It's on my site, the movie that he's referring to, and it has English subtitles. And it's called Men in Black. And what Medvedev, who is the president of Russia, said is, yes, I mean, we don't talk about it in public because we don't want to scare people. You don't want to be worried, but, you know, you can learn everything you want to know about the UFO phenomenon and our interaction with aliens in a very well-made documentary called Men in Black. And so the spin in the Anglosphere media was that, oh, he's just joking. He's talking about Men in Black, you know, with Will Smith and what's his name, you know, and what's his name, Tommy Ray, whatever, that other actor. And this is, he's just joking, as if the only films in the world are made in Hollywood and no other country makes films. No, this is a Russian movie called Men in Black, and I have it on my site, and it's 47 minutes long. It's been taken down. I'll have to find another version of it. And it was the film cited by the by Medvedev. I'll find it. It'll take me 2 minutes to find another one and put it back up. So, maybe I should do that now, because if people are listening, they want to see that. And this is my job, is that things get taken down, and you have to just maintain this all day long. And people, I have now 51,000 plus subscribers, and then another 170 unique visitors that are not subscribed every month that come by, and that results in between 950 and 1.2 million page views per month. So it's turned into a profitable venture for me, actually, and it's great because I get to do what I love, and it's amazing how this happened, because I was really in a bad place in Los Angeles when I think we first spoke. I had been I had come to work on 4 films, and the producer breached the contract, and then we tried to renegotiate 5 times. He broke 5 contracts in a row. So, you know, you do want to get yourself papered up and write contracts, but your contracts are only as good as the person you write them with, you know, you sign them with. So I was in a terrible spot, and a friend of mine said, hey, you should do this, because he had been someone who'd read a book of mine and was thinking maybe that I should co-author a book with him, and then he just thought it would be too much work, but this was a platform that he had designed, and he thought I would probably be pretty good at it, and then I was just even better, possibly, than he was, as far as just with one site. He said, you know, this will just be you know, supplementary income. You know, you'll just make, you know, you'll make your rent or something like that. And it's been much more than that because I got out of a horrible, huge debt. And I moved out of L.A., which to me is like the most disgusting place on the planet. I'm sorry for all you Angelenos who love it. I have many Angelenos that I love. I just can't breathe there at all. It's not air. And all right, I'm trying to find this movie so I can replace it.
So Arielle, do we have any listeners? She has just a few more minutes to be on. Is there someone that would like to call in and talk to her before she signs out?
Well, if anyone on the switchboard has a question for Alexandra, you need to press 1 on your keypad to let us know that you want to come on the air and ask a question. But as of right now, we don't have anybody waiting with a question. I would like to ask you, though, Alexandra, about your book, Beyond the Secret.
Yes.
Is that such as beyond the information in the movie known as The Secret? It goes even farther?
Yes. I basically did a profile on everyone who was in that movie and an analysis of the basic ideology that was being promoted in that film. And not only my analysis, but that of other, you know, more heavyweight and famous thinkers such as Ken Wilber, you know, and this sort of thinking, which he refers to as boomeritis.
Boomeritis?
But he calls it boomeritis, to think that you can change. I mean, yes, you can change the world. I think that if anyone has proven that you can change the world, it's Ed Snowden. But you have to have a level of commitment and clarity and stick-to-itiveness and the willingness to sacrifice everything. And I don't know how much, you know, I don't think that that's really the message that you get from The Secret. You know, it's just like people, you know, I got my parking spot, you know, or whatever. But it was more of just this sort of, I think that there is absolutely some truth to, from a cognitive consciousness perspective of being present and being aware and of what you want and being on the lookout for it, rather than just floating through life. Yes, I think that you can make your life happen more powerfully if the more conscious you are and the more clear that you are about what you want. I mean, who can argue about that? That's like, there's nothing new. There's nothing, that's nothing new at all. But this sort of magical thinking and it might even have been dangerous, and I don't know, where did she go? I mean, every time she opened her mouth publicly, she really did not look very powerful or knowledgeable and was sort of taken behind the scenes and really has enough money to never have to speak or do anything ever again at this point. So, you know,
okay.
God bless her.
Some manifestation to the good had happened there.
Yeah.
You only have a couple of minutes left to share with us, so just anything that you would like to tell our audience, if you want to repeat the information about Contact in the Desert.
Yes, if you're interested in meeting with, you know, it's an incredible meeting of minds here. There's, you know, everybody who is anybody in the UFO business is going to be at Contact in the Desert. It's going to be held on the weekend of August 9th through the 11th during the Perseid meteor showers. Stephen Greer is going to be leading the things that he does, which are contact exercises, and maybe who knows what will come of that out there in the desert. It's a very clear sky over there, away from the lights of the city. It's not far from Los Angeles. It's like a two-hour drive from Los Angeles. You just take the 10 And then you exit on, I think it's Route 60. It's pretty much 10 all the way to one exit, and then you're there, pretty much. And up there, it's not as hot. It's not like Palm Springs. It's the high desert, so it's not as crazily hot. I think Palm Springs had record-breaking heat yesterday of 134 degrees.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah, crazy. My parents are selling their house in that area. I've just told them I've had it. I'm so not interested personally in living in deserts. I'm a water person. I like green, beautiful trees and greenness, and get me away from the desert. Thank you. I just look at the desert and I'm scared for my life. But you know, it's interesting and beautiful and stark and otherworldly. In doses, you know, this is only one weekend to meet 20 odd amazing people, and you can learn more about it at the website contactinthedesert.net. If you're interested in my website, it's forbiddenknowledgetv.com, and you can sign up. I send a short in the morning and usually a feature length clip in the evening, and a lot of people, I get 20 thank you emails per day from all over the world from people saying that they just don't even watch normal TV anymore, that they just stopped and they just watch what I have. And I understand, Lavendar, that even just two shows a day is a lot. I barely have the time to watch what I myself am programming, and so I totally understand. And you can always just put them into a folder to watch later when you do have the time, or if you just don't even want to think about it, if it doesn't interest you, you can always just delete it. Or you don't even have to subscribe if you don't want to get the emails. You can just go see what's the most popular of the day and of the week and of the month, you know, on the day that you check my website, because there are three tabs where you can see what's trending. It's very, very basic and simple, because there are a lot of sites that are sort of organized like magazines and have a ton of information on there, and it's sometimes TMI and fatiguing, and I find that the less clutter and just the more focus on one thing per day, you know, or two things, you know, one thing per morning and evening is probably a better way to handle information that you're interested in. And if you're not interested, you just delete it. Don't have to watch it. It's really that simple. I mean, I do work hard. I work very hard to find what I think is vital, you know, absolutely vital and important for every posting. So, you know, in some way, it's saying something. And there's another thing I also want to say, just, you know, is that just because I'm posting something doesn't mean that I am endorsing it. I'm posting a point of view, and sometimes I'm horrified. You know, I'm absolutely horrified by the point of view, but I think it's important to put it out there for people to see that this is what some people think. You know, so it's a mixed bag. It's a variety show, absolutely, but it's definitely all alternative.
Well, it's a very valuable service that you are providing, and I encourage everyone to go check out ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.com. And if you're California,
Southwest.
During the Southwest, check out contactinthedesert.net. So
yeah,
I know your time
is pretty
up.
Easy to get to from Arizona. You can drive from Arizona in a day, you know, like four hours or something. You know, from Nevada, Utah, it's a day, you know, maybe more hours, but it's people. I have friends who are going to, there are camping facilities. If you're on a tight budget, you can camp on the grounds there. If you have a tent or if you have a camper, you can drive in a camper. You know, it doesn't have to be an expensive thing if you don't want it to be.
Well, great. Well, we want to thank you so much for spending this time with us and providing the alternative news, as we like to do. As at the beginning of our show, we have news that you don't hear, on the mainstream news. And There really is. I mean, I've spent some time on your site, and there are so many videos on virtually every subject that people would find interesting. So very well done, Alexandra.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on your show, and thank you so much for all the work that you do as well. And
you know, when you
come on down to the desert and check out the Contact in the Desert event.
Well, maybe at another.
Where
event,
are you? In Wyoming? You're not that far.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
people
I'm
using long distances over there.
I'm in Atlanta, so.
Oh, okay. You're not.
That's a prohibitive distance, but.
Yeah.
That
was the problem with California for me. It's too far from everything, you know, in my life. I'm half Brazilian. It's so hard to get Brazilians to, you know, to come up from Rio to go all the way to the desert of California. It's just, you know, it's a 20-hour ordeal.
There will be videos, I'm sure, that can be observed and watched after the fact.
Oh, yes. They're having a real Hollywood crew, because the owner of the facility, her daughter is a huge casting director in Hollywood, and they're all, you know, everyone is multi-generational Hollywood who's involved with the Joshua Tree retreat, so they know how to make films over there, and I'm sure it'll be very high quality stuff that comes out of that conference.
Well, that would be very interesting for our audience that can't make it there physically at the moment, to watch it afterwards.
Yeah.
So, Alexandra, thank you so much for spending this time with us, and congratulations on a job well done with your website.
Thank you.
So, Lavendar, if you have anything to add before we wrap up here?
Yes, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Teton meetings that are happening now.
Okay, well, before we get into that subject, then, I just want to once again thank you, Alexandra, for joining us.
Thank you, Ariel, and thank you, Lavendar. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Lavendar, Teton meetings, they're
Teton
starting.
Teton meetings, yes. Well, for those that have not heard this story, I'm just going to briefly say that for many hundreds of years, we've had extraterrestrials to come to the planet and do certain kinds of surveillance, and also gather up certain starseed bloodlines and take certain souls inside the mountain at the Tetons in Wyoming. And the dates are January 1 through 7 and July 1 through 7. And what happens is, the ones that have raised their hands before they were born and said, yes, I want to be part of the evolution of the planet to uplift the planet and its people, that you would actually give consent to be taken inside the mountain. This is where they come and literally take your soul, put it in a container, take it all the way to the Tetons, put it through the Emerald computer in this giant room, and then you pop out like a holographic form, and therefore people can see who you are. And 144,000 beings are taken every 45 minutes during this period of time. Some weeks, sometimes it lasts longer than 7 days. This particular meeting that's going to happen now, they started, I think, probably last week, and they're going to go probably another extra week, but the main energy flux will be 1 through 7. The beings that are going to be taken inside of the mountain at this particular time are the ones that are really going to be responsible for some of the new children that are coming to the planet, and some of the new technologies, the environmental technologies that will help clean up our air and help stabilize our planet. There's a big rush now for people to wake up a little bit sooner than maybe programmed in their systems, because there's an alert that's happening saying that we have to swiftly get people online and get their consciousness up to speed so that they'll be able to counteract some of the things that will be happening on the planet. Because there are other forces that are, you know, in very negative spaces about our air and our food and water, and like the pharmaceutical companies and the GMO people. And so there's another front coming saying, you know, we need to reverse this. We need to change things. So some of the people that are be taken inside the mountain at this time will be given new insight and new ways of bringing forth these balancing procedures for the planet. And a lot of it has to do with the birthing of children and raising these children not with the same attitudes and the same consciousness that are taught in the public schools at this time. These will be new ways of forming educational systems for these new children. So there's going to be places that will be built where you can actually send these children that are very exceptional, these children that are prodigies, and they, you know, at 5 years of age they start talking like Einstein, or they're playing pianos, you know, or writing music or whatever. There's going to be a huge push for building the structures and the places for these children to come and study, because it will be through these beautiful indigo and crystal children that our future will be based upon if they're allowed to flourish and to go forward. So I'm pretty excited about some of the things that I've gleaned from the meetings. It's just been going on for 2 days, but I'm pretty pumped up about seeing how that we're fast tracking some things. Why? Because we have to. It's, you know, it's like when they throw very negative energies at our people and the planet, we don't just have to sit back and take it. We can actually suit up and do something about it. So that is one of the things that will be happening in the meetings. I noticed that a lot of my clients, the people that I have done sessions with, are going to be taken inside the mountain. I talked to our friend Barbara, who works for the forest. She's a forest ranger up at the Tetons. She just called this past week, and she sent me a lovely calendar, which I look at every day to remind me of the Tetons. And she says there's a lot of activity going on, a lot of spaceship activity, a lot of beings are being called to move there and to be in that area. So I myself would love to maybe take a trip to the Tetons, maybe this coming year. I've been looking at January, and for those of you that might be interested in maybe going to the Tetons, you can always email me at lavendar@starseedhotline.com, and I'll be happy to take your name down if you're interested in venturing to the Tetons in January. So basically that's what I just wanted to say, Ariel, is about the meetings are going on, and that things are being accelerated, and for good reason. Everything is getting speeded up for, you know, lots of reasons, because the way the communication is set on the planet now with the internet, with people's consciousness, it's like the 100 monkey theory. It's like when one gets it, it starts traveling fast around the globe. And the more that happens, the more people are allowed to wake up and to go forward with very positive influence for the children that are going to come and for helping keep our planet environmentally friendly. So that's basically what I wanted to say about the Tetons.
Well, for people that have not heard our past broadcasts, just a thumbnail description that there are many ET races in cooperation. It's almost like a United Nations. From time to time, there have been various ascended masters. This is a gigantic cooperative effort by many species and people, beings of high consciousness, high levels of evolution, upper dimensional beings. And the purpose is to support and protect the planet and the people. so it's a very, very powerful a counterforce to the more negative forces that are on the planet, which they really are on the way out. And from I hear what you're saying is that you're getting a bigger broom now, and the beings at the Teton meetings are just going to speed up the elimination of those detrimental forces and empower us towards the golden age of Aquarius, when we'll have world peace, we'll have healthy food and cooperation between people. So that's kind of an accurate assessment, would you say, for the overview why they're
it
doing
is.
This?
Yeah,
and I remember during a past Teton meeting, I did some math. If every 45 minutes, 144,000 beings, souls, are beamed in there. It's 45 minutes of Earth time, but it's 2 weeks of dimensional time. Is that
That's
I heard you
correct.
Say that once?
That's correct.
And with those kind of numbers, that puts about 35, 36 million starseeds that will be participating. And,
yes, and they come from all over the world, not just the United States.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you wake up in the morning and you feel like you might have been busy during the evening, during the night. It's very, very possible.
Well, one way is to look at your thumbs and see if you have little red dots on the top of your thumbs. Now, yesterday I had one on my ankle, so they're switching places on me now. But those are called shots of non-remembrance, and the reason that you're not to remember is that you would not be able to function and go about your daily task if they didn't give you these shots. So, just
but
know
it's
that
just
it's
a non-remembrance in the front of your brain. That you do remember in some part of your consciousness exactly what the directives and the. And the codes and activations that were given to you. So just because you can't remember them in your waking state, you still retain them in
True.
Some fashion, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, I think this is going to wrap up our show here for this evening.
Okay.
I will mention one more time that we are gathering our next soul group to go to Hot Springs, Arkansas for our Crystal Quest. And we are inviting people who have very particular star markings that identify them as members of this soul group with rites of passage to go retrieve Atlantean-coded crystals and experience the crystal activations. And those particular markings, if you're familiar with your chart, would be galactic degrees of 25, 26, or 27 of any one of these signs, Aquarius, Leo, Capricorn, Cancer, Taurus, and Scorpio. So if you're familiar with your chart and you have those markings and you feel the call of the crystals, please send us an email to crystals@starseedhotline.com. And we can, if you're not sure, but you feel that resonance in your soul, if you're not sure about your markings, send me your birth information, and I can tell you quickly if you have the markings that identify you as a member of this soul group. And that will be in October between the 8th and the 14th. So I am going to wrap it up now with thanks and gratitude to our Starseed Radio Academy staff with Chris and Fiona and Anastasia. And we invite you to come back and listen again next week, same time, same place. So until then, watch out for Mercury retrograde, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.